I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama
always said I'd be the chosen one. This whistleblower literally sat in a meeting. He says, he tells the FBI, where Adam Schiff authorized the leaking of classified secrets to dirty up Donald Trump and to try to build towards either a select committee in Congress or a special prosecutor. This whistleblower was a career intelligence officer. He had worked for the House Intelligence Committee, Democrat staff, for a dozen years when he came forward to to the FBI. He gave four interviews. He gave very specific information to the FBI. And nothing happened. Why? Because the Justice Department simply decided to take a pass. How many times have we sat around in the last decade and heard, we're going to get to the bottom of that classified leak, and then a few months later, we couldn't get to the bottom of that classified leak. In the case of Adam Schiff, they got to the bottom of some classified leaks, but the Justice Department chose not to act. So tonight, past attorney generals, people like Merrick Garland and Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, who was acting on Russiagate, they've got some serious questions answered. Did they know about this Adam Schiff stuff? Why did they allow it to be passed on? And will anything happen in the current Justice Department?
Perfect questions. Those are being posed by John Solomon, a journalist, contributor of Fox News until late 2020, still does some things from time to time for them. Former executive editor-in-chief of the Washington Times. But he's talking about these whistleblowers are saying Adam Schiff was leaking information. Well, who was he going to leak it to? Not to the other Democrats, because they were all getting part of it anyway. He wasn't leaking it to law enforcement so they would realize maybe we don't need to be going after Trump. He was leaking it to his buddies, his pets, as in the legacy media, surrounding him. He could drop a crumb and know that they would pick it up and turn it into something bigger. I'd mentioned to you earlier that this Democrat whistleblower claiming that Adam Schiff approved leaking classified information to discredit Donald Trump. The documents recently handed over to Congress by FBI Director Kash Patel. This whistleblower worked for the Democrats on the House Intel Committee for 10 years and apparently reported the behavior of Adam Schiff to the FBI in 2017. He called the leaking treasonous, illegal, in addition to being unethical. What did they do? Not a damn thing. Nothing. Because they were in charge and they just weren't going to deal with it. By the way, John Solomon is also the author of a book called Washington Lies That Enriched the Clinton and Biden Dynasties. I bring that up because there's a publication out now that claiming that the Trump family is profiting from him being president, and the numbers are staggering. You know who put together the piece? The New Yorker. Well, that should signal right there, probably extremely biased. Well, we'll deal with that a little bit later as we move forward. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. You can watch the program by going to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, and everything later goes up as a podcast. News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. I do want to take a moment again to remind you that Christopher Arps and Speaker Tim Jones are in Israel and been filing reports, not only doing some of their daily show that airs right ahead of us from Israel Live, but also filing additional reports. And Tim filed one yesterday that we played in the last hour. You didn't hear it? Well, normally I'd say shame on you. but I know you can't listen all the time. But in this case, I strongly encourage you to go back and pull up that first hour podcast and listen to Tim Jones trying to keep his composure, standing in the middle of the killing fields that was a music festival until Hamas came in and started slaughtering, capturing, raping, killing, October 7, 2023. Believe me, pull it up, listen to it, and then push share. Send it on to others. So back to the issue right now with what are we going to do to make sure we get all the stones uncovered and find out where all these termites and rats have been hiding. John Ratcliffe, CIA.
Part of what came out last week was about how John Brennan, Clapper, Comey, they all pushed the known fake Steele dossier into intelligence community assessments and as the basis for Crossfire Hurricane and all that. But what hasn't come out yet and what's going to come out is the underlying intelligence that I have spent the last few months making recommendations about final declassification and sent that to the Department of Justice that will come out in the John Durham report, Classified Annex. And what that intelligence shows, Maria, is that part of this was a Hillary Clinton plan, but part of it was an FBI plan to be an accelerant to that fake Steele dossier, to those fake Russia collusion claims by pouring oil on the fire, by amplifying the lie and burying the truth of what was what Hillary Clinton was up to.
Yeah, because there had been so much that she had her hands in. And Obama knew it. Obama knew it. There was a sit-down in the White House, in the Oval Office, with Obama, Biden, Attorney General Lynch, FBI Director then Comey, Brennan, Clapper, all of them sitting there. They all knew the allegations against Trump were just a dirty tricks campaign. And you know what? The president did not do what he should have done and say, out this, make it clear this was a dirty tricks campaign. No, they decided to continue to wage war on Trump. That was in December, after he had already won election. But they were not going to let him go into the inauguration without smearing him. You got in because Russia helped you. And they knew it was a lie. And they've got a lot of people's hands involved here. Once again, CIA Director John Ratcliffe.
Much of that testimony is, frankly, completely inconsistent with what our underlying intelligence that is about to be declassified in the Durham Annex, what that reflects. And so, you know, Pam Bondi does have a strike force. It is a different Department of Justice, a different FBI, and an opportunity to look at how these people really did conspire to run a hoax, a fraud, on the American people and against Donald Trump's presidency. And so coming forward, we understand that they did this, but now we need to understand how they did this. And I think that's why you see the left losing their minds over this, Maria, saying, why are you spending time? This is vindictive. You're going back. This is Donald Trump, you know, seeking retribution. It's not.
It's not. It's seeking accountability. They would call it retribution if someone had killed someone else and that person got arrested. That's retribution. No, that's what we call law and order. And then accountability. Well, as you know, this Friday it is scheduled for Trump and Putin to meet in Alaska, face-to-face, dealing with how do we bring an end to the war in Ukraine. Secretary of Defense Hegseth.
Nobody else could have created the conditions that lead to a meeting like this. And certainly under Joe Biden, the violence raged, the war raged, and Putin never took him serious enough to even consider a meeting. So already President Trump has changed the game. He's created the conditions for a possible negotiated settlement, which is his goal from the beginning at a very complex battlefield. I don't think Vladimir Putin would be meeting unless he's felt that heat. And I think there's a chance. And the president's laid out the parameters, and so is Steve Witkoff and others who are in the we're in the strength side of the peace through strength business. But on the negotiating side, there's going to be, you know, could be land swaps. There could be there's going to be concessions. No one's going to be happy. But if anybody can do it, it's going to be President Trump.
If anybody can do it, it would be Trump. Trump is looking to come in and close a deal. But if Zelensky is not part of that meeting and not part of, quote, the deal, it probably will not happen. My guest in the last hour said maybe there needs to be a change in leadership in Ukraine and also maybe Russia. J.D. Vance did say over the weekend the White House is trying to arrange a meeting between not just Trump and Putin, but with Zelensky. No word on if that's been done at this point. U.S. Ambassador to NATO pointing out that it is still possible for Zelensky to attend. He said there's time to make that decision. No decision's been made yet. In the meantime, Trump has taken actions to protect D.C. residents and visitors, and the left would have you believe Trump's step is the first of steps becoming a dictator.
This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. Today, we're declaring public safety emergency in the District of Columbia, and Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's fantastic, is taking command of the Metropolitan Police Department. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. You want to have safety in the streets. You want to be able to leave your apartment or your house where you live and feel safe and go into a store to buy a newspaper or buy something. And you don't have that now.
You don't have it. You don't have it. And you would think D.C. residents would be happy to have peace in their community and the ability to simply walk out the door without being mugged. And the most common crimes happen inside minority neighborhoods. And yes, every once in a while, one spills into a business section or right around the Capitol. But if you're a D.C. resident, don't you want to be protected? Well, if you listen to some of them, they don't like it because Trump's doing this.
The president has been trying to provoke violence here, right here, in the black communities and in the brown communities, having ICE kidnap our neighbors, having the black community be harassed and profiled and want a response. We say, hell no, we won't go.
Hell no, we won't go. We won't go.
When we say we won't go, that means we're not going into their prisons and enslavement. We won't go his beautiful centers that he got. We won't go to where alligators live. Hell no, we won't go.
Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go.
Well, no, we will not go. So, are you willing to go and sign? This is, to me, always the litmus test for these progressives that say our streets should be run the way we want to let them run. If there's crime, so be it, as long as it's not me. Or if I'm engaged in committing a crime, I should be allowed to do so. But to me, the litmus test for citizens who claim they want law and order and they think Trump's doing it wrong, are you willing to go to the court and appear before a judge and sign a document saying, I will take this person into my care and custody to stay at my house while you go through legal motions if you're going to against them, and they will be residing with me? No, they're not going to do that because they wouldn't want them in. And you know what? This would include some of those same black residents who were taking part in that little rally, and it was a very small rally. It did not represent even maybe 2% of the D.C. population, and I'm guessing at that. I don't think it was that big, and by that I meant 2% minority, and most of the population in D.C. is minority. But the bottom line is they would not do it even for some in their own community. They know they're thugs, and they do not want them in their community. And they don't dare speak out. They don't dare try to do anything. They just try to hide and help get their kids safely to school, hopefully safely home, and they get safely to their jobs and safely home. Pete Hegseth pointed out, Trump is just trying to make things safer.
This is what the American people voted for. This is what the common sense, clarity, strength. I hadn't heard that story from President Trump before, the story he told about his father, that he told him, hey, son, if you look at the front door of a restaurant and it's dirty, then I bet the kitchen, you can count on the fact that the kitchen is too. And sat there thinking, that's exactly right. If our capital city is a mess, if we can't control our capital city, then what does the rest of the country look like? And what signals does the rest of the country take from that? So just like we did in Los Angeles, alongside our federal law, we took a lot of criticism for 4,000 troops, 700 Marines. You know what we didn't get? There was no summer of love in 2020.
That's right.
In 2025, there was a summer of law enforcement. And we quelled the protests of the attacks on ICE officers. We're going to help get D.C. under control by working with local officials who have been federalized, with federal officials who are coming in. The D.C. Guard's proud to be a part of it. Other states will contribute this week going into the weeks to come. Whatever's needed, the DOD will provide to make sure this is a safe city for those who live here, for those that work here, and the Americans who want to come visit here and love our capital.
Our nation's capital should be a safe place. Presidents have used the Insurrection Act about 30 different times over history to order up the National Guard and take control of them and move them in. And generally it's thought, well, if it's to be used, it's only because you've got a group opposing or obstructing federal laws. It's not limited to that. It's to bring peace. I did an extensive evaluation of those laws and how they've been used in the past in our previous hour. There's another good reason to go back and pull up that podcast if you missed it. And in this case, I will say, shame on you. But I know you can't listen all the time. That's why we do put things up as a podcast for you, so you can go back and pull them up and learn exactly how the Insurrection Act has been used by at least 30 times. As I said, with Larry Connors USA, you're going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. And we're going to continue with more education as we move forward dealing with the redistricting issue. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington. Always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I've got a great evening planned for you. We start with dining at the Oak Street Inn Lounge in Cottleville. We enjoy sunset on the rooftop, then down to the speakeasy. Just one visit, you're going to see why I'm always talking about the Oak Street Inn and Lounge. Plus, you might want to plan a staycation, a romantic getaway. Check out OakStreetInnAndLounge.com for various events this summer. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Cottleville. Oak Street Inn and Lounge, Cottleville.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by a window fan on a long, hot summer day. For every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Oh, so bold, picking up barges on a long, hot summer day.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Reapportion everything right now? What's he doing?
Well, he certainly wants to do the census in a way that doesn't
now
count illegal aliens as part of the overall population for the purpose of determining congressional districts and federal funding. And I think he's going to have a lot of popular support for it. Now, I know there's a process they have to go through, and it would take a long time to do a census. But there is a widespread belief that Democrats want to keep the system in place that they have because it advantages them. I know that that's what they believe, because a Democratic congresswoman from New York, Clark, the other day said out loud, I want more migrants in my district for redistricting purposes. And so it's a political strategy of the Democrats. And I think the president is saying to the American people, why are we counting illegal aliens, unauthorized residents in this country when it comes to apportioning our political leadership?
Absolutely. That is Scott Jennings on the CNN panel, where he's the token conservative. The redistricting issue deals with how many seats you're going to have in Congress. Every state, basic civics here, every state gets two senators. Every state gets a number of representatives based upon their population. And the population count right now is around 780,000 for each congressional district. That's why that one Democrat said out loud what many are thinking all the time, we need more people living here. Even if they can't vote, if they're illegal, if they get counted in the census, then we make sure we get another seat in Congress, or maybe more than one. And we certainly don't lose any. If they're here illegally and they can't vote anyway, you might as well start counting cats and dogs. Why don't we do that? Because they have no authority, no ability to do anything other than be counted. And as you well know, in Texas, Democrats didn't want to go through redistricting down there. The governor has called a special legislative session to redistrict the state of Texas based on the fact that too many illegals got counted in the census. So all the Democrats left the state. They ran to friendly states like Illinois. There's another twist in this story. First of all, Governor Abbott has said this special legislative session is on the calendar for 30 days. But when that 30 days expires, if they're not back in town where we can redistrict, we'll have another 30-day legislative session and another and another and another. But here's the twist most recently. Democrat Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke, remember him running against Ted Cruz and then later against Abbott in Texas to become governor when he couldn't become senator? He has been helping some of these Democrats out of state, according to information from the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. He says, we know he's violating a court order which would bar him from raising money for Democrats in the Texas legislature to help them stay out of the state. Help them basically evade their duties, not representing their constituency. I wonder how many of the Democrats in those areas are aware that you have no representation. You have no representation right now because they left the state. And then, of course, you look at New York, which has gotten really bad marks for redistricting in the past. I want you to listen to Governor Hochul as she's being questioned, in a legitimate questioning, as to how fouled up it is in New York, in her state, and it's even been given an F grade.
Here's how National Review summarized it. They said it was only 3 years ago that New York's Democratic legislature drew up a map so brazenly contemptuous of basic rules that govern a district's contiguousness that the state's Democrat-dominated Court of Appeals threw it out. The New York Times at the time called those maps comically contorted. That's their quote. So your state's highest court at the time, all the judges appointed by Democratic governors, they threw the maps out. So fair to say Democrats have done what they're now accusing Republicans of doing.
No, we followed the rules. We do it every 10 years. We base it on census.
But the court said you didn't follow the rules.
Well, we did follow the rules.
So the court was wrong?
Well, we followed the rules.
We followed the rules. No, you didn't follow the rules. That was the whole point. You got an F rating. An F. If there'd been a lower grade, you would have gotten that. Do they have an F minus? I don't know. They might do that. And then you got former Attorney General Holder under the Obama administration talking about gerrymandering. That's basically drawing lines in such a way that no Republican's ever going to be elected out of this congressional district because we carved it out where it's full of Democrats and just a slice of Republicans. Or the other way. It happens both ways. But here's the former Attorney General Holder suggesting we should not have gerrymandering, and yet we should.
Let me ask you, how can gerrymandering both be a threat to democracy and also the way to save it?
Well, there's no question that gerrymandering is a threat to our democracy. It allows politicians to pick their voters as opposed to citizens choosing their representatives. But we are now in a situation where we find ourselves where authoritarian moves are being made by the White House through various states, Texas, most prominent among them. And there has to be a response to that. What I've said is that we have to protect our democracy now if we ultimately want to be able to save it. And so taking the reasonable steps that have been proposed in California, I think it makes a great deal of sense in this moment, a temporary way in which to respond to that which is happening in Texas, what? With the thought that after what? This crisis has passed, we get back to the fight against gerrymandering by anybody.
Oh, I see. It's okay for you to wear brass knuckles in the ring, but not the other guy. Yeah, we're going to allow brass knuckles for my side. You just have to use your bare hands. Once we have control of everything again, well, then we'll take off our brass knuckles. This is the most idiotic statement to come from a man who supposedly is learned, and not only is that, but is a former prosecutor, attorney general for our nation. Well, we have the issue with the New York City mayoral race that continues, and guess who stepped forward? Congressman Nadler to endorse Mondami.
While we work to take back the House in 2026 and the White House in 2028, we need Zoran Mamdani as mayor fighting against these betrayals right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Not enabling them. Mm. Every seat matters. Every race matters. And who is mayor of New York is crucial. New York City needs a leader who won't give Trump an inch, who won't flinch or bargain away our rights. With Zoran Mamdani as mayor, we'll have a leader who will defend our hospitals, our schools, and our neighbors from Trump's devastating policy.
No, you have it entirely backwards. You might have to learn the hard way. Libertarian columnist George Will says, you know what, maybe we need to have another time of a Mondani in power so they can see just how broken such proposals are.
I want him to win.
You want him to win.
Yeah.
Every 20 years or so, we need a conspicuous, confined experiment with socialism so we can crack it up again. Socialist slogan used to be, workers of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains. The new socialist slogan is, trust us, this time it won't be a mess. So, you know, when the post-war labor government in Britain was about to get started, one of their leading lights was a socialist named Honorian Bevan. He said, what could go wrong? He said, we have a nation bedded on coal, surrounded by fish. It would take an organizational genius to have a shortage of either. In 3 years, they had a shortage of both. That's socialism.
Yeah, and Mondani is no genius of any type. Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland is saying this whole issue about what Trump's trying to do and the redistricting and including federal control of D.C., all of it is to deflect the Epstein file. Look away from the Epstein files as if you're going to forget that. No one's going to forget that. Everything in its time. You can only do one thing at a time. It's like me. I have 40 different ideas in my mind right now. 30 of them probably aren't worth even discussing, but 10 are, but I can only do one at a time. But Jamie Raskin said Trump is doing this, taking over control of the D.C. Police Department, sending in the National Guard. He manufactured an emergency. Manufactured? Speaking of manufactured, coming up, you're going to hear how NBC has to admit the Donald Trump tariffs are not really hurting that much. And yet the New Yorker magazine claims that's because maybe Donald Trump and family are getting very, very rich. Suddenly someone is concerned about someone in the White House getting rich while they're in the White House. Didn't hear it from them during the Biden administration. That's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've got a phone number for you and a website where you can take a free, quick survey to learn how to use artificial intelligence, AI, to put your company on a fast track to the future. Here's the number. It's a 636 area code, 636-689-0545. 689-0545. This is PRI Global. And recently, the St. Louis Business Journal named PRI Global as a leading IT consulting company. 25 years working with hundreds of companies, several Fortune 500, locally and around the world. PRI Global has its own AI lab to develop what's best for your company. Take the free survey and be on your way to the future. 636-689-0545, 689-0545, or go direct, priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15% right now. Get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more five-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service.
Yeah.
You've worked hard for your money, so protect it. Meet my friend Bob Leslie and ask about the Gain and Retain plan. Leslie Consulting, 40 years in the St. Louis area as a leader in brokerage and risk management. Call 314-721-0066, 721-0066. Oh, and ask Bob how he was the L.A. Dodger number one pick. LeslieConsulting.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks. And how many times
this is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The president promising the new tariffs will help make America richer than ever.
We have a country that is going to be very rich. It's a country that we're very proud of, but it's going to be very rich.
And money is coming in. Last month, the Treasury Department saying it's collected nearly $30 billion from tariffs, a 242% increase from last July. That's money paid by American companies that import the goods. The White House also sees tariffs as a key tool to bring back American manufacturing.
We want to get rid of these big deficits that we have with countries that have created these big surpluses, and the gutted our manufacturing base, right, and have been terrible for American workers.
And everything in that NBC report, they hated. They hated to put out in the public. $30 billion extra brought into our nation after the tariffs were put in place and some beginning to take effect. $240 billion additional dollars of U.S. capital created in our nation. It's all looking good, isn't it? Could there be some stumbles, some slips here and there? Yes, it could. The latest out on our inflation rate, it is still low, but it did get supposedly a little hotter than expected. Inflation increasing in July, moving away from the Federal Reserve's target rate. The Consumer Price Index, that's a broad measure of how much everyday goods, gasoline, groceries, and rent costs rose 0.2% in July compared to the previous month, which was up 2.7% from a year ago. And all of these are considered to be in line. Now, the numbers get confusing. It comes down to you and what you can buy with the dollars you've got. Are you not paying less for gasoline now under Trump than you did under Biden? The answer is yes. I want to share something with you. And I'm telling you, this is one of these things that, as I go through it, if you're driving, be careful you do not get in a road rage incident. Do not accelerate. Do not brake suddenly. Do not swerve when you hear what I'm going to tell you. This is the kind of thing that will certainly cause some kind of reaction like that. The New Yorker magazine, after, quote, a lengthy investigation, has a bombshell report. Trump has leveraged both terms of his presidency to pocket billions of dollars. They're enriching themselves by more than $3.4 billion by the end of his second term. Many deals, transactions, investments that certainly would not have happened if he were not president. Now that, I will grant, is probably a correct line, but doesn't mean anything is wrong nor illegal. The New Yorker continues. This includes lucrative commercial projects in the Persian Gulf, overseen by the Trump Organization, hotels and golf courses in Saudi Arabia, that luxury 747 from the Qatari royal family, And then you've got Trump with his cryptocurrency, NFTs. The New Yorker estimates they've raked in at least $320 million from his S-Trump meme coin, or meme coin, I should say. The First Lady Melania meme coin reportedly pulling in $65 million in sales and trading. And again, this is all from the New Yorker magazine. Then they're looking at a private members club in D.C. set up by the president's oldest son, David. You want in? Membership cost $500,000. That's pretty steep. Well, if it had just been $499,000, I might have joined, but I'm not going to go for $500,000. Then they talk about Trump Jr.'s work with an online gun retailer called Grab a Gun, bringing in another $20 million. And the New Yorker, here's where it comes. This is where it breaks. I mean, it absolutely breaks. The New Yorker suggests it's unlikely Trump Jr. would have landed a similar gig in venture capital if Daddy hadn't been president. Who does that sound like? And I don't recall a single story the New Yorker did regarding Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And we all know Hunter Biden, and he even admitted he got his job with that energy and oil group because Daddy was president. But the New Yorker never wrote that story. But here they're writing, Donald Trump Jr. is getting some of this because Daddy is president. Again, there's nothing illegal here. They're not doing deals on the side, hiding money. It's all public compared to what Hunter Biden was doing and Joe Biden. Then you get a longtime government ethics reform advocate, as he's billed. An ethics reform advocate supposedly knows everything about ethics. He told the New Yorker that when it comes to, quote, using his public office to amass personal profits, Trump is a unicorn. No one even comes close. That's got to make Biden feel, what am I, chopped liver? I thought I was doing pretty good. But just because he's got the title, a government ethics reform advocate, doesn't mean there's anything unethical here. None. See, this is, again, where they like to take something, slap it against a wall, and you're just supposed to stare at it, not ask how it got there, not ask what's behind it, not ask why it was even put there to begin with. The same so-called expert said Trump's brazen attempts to use his name for profit while in office, raising concerns, he's offering several opportunities for people to buy influence with him. You could say the same thing with Joe Biden, but I don't think this guy ever said one word about Joe Biden, and I know the New Yorker didn't. But he continues, the way Trump pursues every possible avenue for money gives people who provide that money a clear sense you're going to get something in return. Almost anyone who sees what's going on has to assume his money is buying the president's favor. And I will go back even before Biden. I will go back to Hillary Clinton serving as Secretary of State under Obama, and she and Bill set up the Clinton Foundation. And Bill Clinton gets invited to Russia to give a speech, 15 minutes of yucking and talking, $500,000. Oh, they got you. You could have gotten into the Trump private club with that. And they were pooling money left and right. Why? Because other nations were contributing, thinking she is going to be the next president. And when it became evident that she wasn't, the money stopped flowing and the foundation shut down. And we still don't know where all the money went. Oh, here's something to keep in mind. Trump is confirming that his administration is considering reclassifying cannabis as a less dangerous drug. Cannabis, marijuana, Mary Jane, weed, tote, whatever you want to call it. He said, we're looking at reclassification. We'll make a determination over the next few weeks. It's a very complicated subject. But he said it could be doing a lot with medical, pain, various things. Some people like it, some people hate it. No one is saying you have to have it or use it, but he's saying we're thinking about reclassifying it, rescheduling it from a Schedule 1 drug to a Schedule 3, taking it out of categories like LSD and so forth, steroids. Oh, that reminds me. We have Los Angeles hosting the 2028 Olympic Games. Some leftists are against the Olympic Games being held in our nation. Why? Well, because Trump is president and will basically serve as the overseer of the Olympics for 2028. Ambassador Monica Crowley explains.
Well, their hatred for President Trump is so all-consuming that they can't see these common sense and logical reasons for why the country should be celebrating having the Olympics. They're so poisoned by their hatred of the president. Look, the Olympic Games are anticipated to bring in about $18 billion in economic activity for the city of Los Angeles, for the state of California, for the United States. It's anticipated to generate about 90,000 full-time equivalent jobs for the American people in that city, state, and in our country. They cannot see past any of that, not to mention celebrating our incredible athletes that have worked their entire lives to get to this moment. So they're blinded by their ideology and by their hatred, and let them go stew in it. The rest of us patriotic Americans are so excited, enthusiastic about hosting the Summer Olympic Games, which we have not done since 1996. And it's all thanks to President Trump.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm sure the New Yorker would say, well, he's making money on it somewhere. He's going to be running limos to the games. You understand that the president, any elected officer of any government level, is supposed to divest themselves of direct handling and control of whatever trust and monies they have while they're in that office. And, you know, they could do some things that might benefit them down the line. But where's the outcry against Joe Biden doing that or Hillary Clinton? There is none. There is none. Let me give you some good news. Female military recruits sharply increasing across all service branches so far. Just this fiscal year, the Pentagon says 7,200 more women have enlisted at this point compared to last year. One defense official said, the media narrative is that the female recruitment numbers have either fallen or stayed the same under Secretary Hegseth and President Trump is 100% fake news. Leadership matters. Women are excited to serve under the strong leadership of Hegseth and President Trump. The Army surpassed its overall recruitment goals in June, 4 months before the end of the fiscal year. 61,000 signed on to become a member of our U.S. Army. Pride in America, pride in the leadership, a commander-in-chief who knows what he's doing. And yet we still have those in our country that they hate America so much, and they blame Trump for everything wrong. We already know some have said, well, if he's elected president again, I'm leaving. They didn't do it the first time. This time around, some did. Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres. Oh, I'm sorry, DeGeneres. No, I meant it the way I said it. Rosie went to Ireland. DeGeneres went to England. And now after the Stephen Colbert show has been extended, Someone else is ready to head for the door. Who would it be? This guy says that I'm dealing with this because it's not right that Donald Trump is president. We can't change it, so maybe I should change countries. And he has a dual passport. He was able to get that done because of deep genealogical research to prove that he also has an Italian citizenship. So this well-known guy is saying, I'm thinking that I'm going to go to Italy. I'm out of here. I'm going to Italy. I would say, good riddance, Jimmy Kimmel. Go ahead and go. These are folks that just... Kimmel's remarks about Trump deporting people. People should go, F you. These people will not be missed. And I'll be glad to see them go. And Jimmy Kimmel and all these other names I just listed would not have made their mark in both entertainment and their bank accounts if it weren't for being in this nation. Go. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. All right, so we come to the end of today's lesson. What did you learn? I told you you would learn more than you knew when we began. Class will resume tomorrow. In the meantime, remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.